Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Imagine that there is a person who is walking in front of the White House. Better yet, imagine that person is you. Why are you there? You're looking for an audience with the President of the United States. Right? You've put on your best clothes. You've made sure that your hair looks okay. You want to speak with him because there are some things that you've noticed that you'd really like him to know. Things that you think he could probably take care of for you. First, there are the roads. We've just come out of winter. There's a lot of potholes. These roads get particularly beat up during the winter. And really, the repairs just don't cut it. We need all brand new roads. Then there's the issue of the income tax. We all know taxes in Illinois. It feels like we're being taxed to death. I bet the president could do something about that. And in fact, maybe they're okay, but they're at least too high for me and too low for everyone else. And finally, especially if you're me, there's that sticky matter called student loans. I bet the president could probably take care of those too. In all honesty, though, there are far too many barriers between you and the president of the United States. There's not only the black fence and the lawn that would prevent you from making it to the building, but then you have the guards who are posted, and you have the Secret Service who is there, who is ready to shoot first and ask questions later. Especially if there is an unexpected guest running towards the president. But what if the president were to look out his window and see you? What if he were to see you pacing in front of the White House, and so he gives the command to go out there and to bring you into the Oval Office, and then he's going to give you as much time as you want that he might listen and take care of your problems. Too good to be true, right? Sadly, yeah. It is true in regards to the president. He's far too busy to look out his window and invite any old person on the street to come in and have an audience with him. But not so with Jesus. With Jesus, you have access to a friend in high places. Today is Maundy Thursday. In our sermon series in the book of Exodus, we come to Exodus chapter 24. We begin with these words. Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar." Worship from afar. Don't get too close. Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, 70 elders, you can come kind of close, but don't get too close. You don't have full access to God. There are too many barriers. You can get to that black fence, but no further, because Yahweh is the Lord, because he is holy, because he is infinite and eternal and all-powerful and all-knowing. He is the only God, and he is in a league of his own. Sure, Yahweh has descended on the mountain. We see it in the fire and the smoke, and Israel's leaders are able to come to a certain point. But why do they have to worship from afar? It's because they are nothing like God. We are nothing like God. Born in transgression and sin, naturally we are enemies of God. We are rebellious. We convince ourselves that a few sins here and there won't really hurt us. We're wayward, right? Sometimes we just like to depart from God's word because it sounds so much better. We're prone to wander, we're hard-hearted, we're selfish, and we're lost. Moses alone shall come to the Lord. Moses alone can come near, but nobody else, no other people shall come up with him. Well, Moses was born in sin too, right? He's still not Jesus. Moses is still a sinner, and so why does he get to come near and no one else? It's because God chose him as the mediator, the go-between, the intercessor between God and the people of Israel. He's the bridge that gaps the leaders and God himself. How does he create the bridge? Well, we have that word too. Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." You want access to God? You got to pay a price. The price is blood. Just like when the Passover lamb was slain before they left Egypt and its blood was splattered on the doorposts. Why? Because the blood of the lamb was given as a replacement for the blood of their firstborn sons. And so when the angel of death sees this blood that has been sacrificed, the angel passes over their house. But all of the Egyptian unbelievers who didn't offer the blood, the angel comes through, strikes down every firstborn son in Egypt. Blood is essential. Blood is how Israel gains access to God. Blood is all that we need. And we see how good blood is at actually doing its job, right? Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, 70 of the elders, where do they go? After the blood is thrown all over the place, they get to behold God and eat and drink in his presence. They see the God of Israel. Talk about access. Could you imagine being in the presence of Almighty God himself? But that's not the only gift. It's not only a gift for the Israelite leaders. It's not only just for people who lived thousands of years ago. This is the same gift that God gives to you. Blood is how you get out of Egypt. You know Egypt, right? Being in our house of guilt and remorse and darkness and death. You know, all of those times in life where we wish we could just escape. You need blood. Blood is also how we gain access to God even today. Because blood is all we need. But it's no longer the blood of a woolly white lamb. It's no longer the blood of an ox that needs to be thrown out across the people. We know it's Jesus' blood. The death and blood of God's Son. And his death isn't something unexpected or unplanned. The scriptures are clear. The lamb was slain from the creation of the world. That's Revelation 13. Before the world even started, before God even spoke the very first word in Genesis 1, he knew the plan was to send his son. That way Jesus might shed his blood for you. Because even before you were created, God looked out his window and he saw you pacing in front of his lawn. And he said, "I want that person. I want you to be in my presence, and I'm going to give you open ears, and I'm going to give you everything that is helpful for you in this life. I won't spare any expense. I won't hold anything back. I will give you all of my grace and all of my mercy." He gives you total 100% access. And it's not because you're wearing your Sunday best. And it's not because you made sure that your hair wasn't sticking up before you came. It's not even because you requested an audience with God. Instead, it's because God loved you even before you needed his love. On Good Friday, the Jews wanted Barabbas. Herod wanted a show. Pilate wanted to be released from his burden to condemn Jesus. Caiaphas wanted death. The soldiers wanted to have some fun. What do we want? In this Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, tomorrow is Good Friday. What do we want? We want blood. Because blood is all that we need, and blood is what gains us access to God. And so Jesus, he must be beaten. Beaten within an inch of his life. He must have his back torn open by the whip. He must have the cross beam of his own cross shoved onto his shoulders so he can carry it out to a mountain so that he can shed his blood. He must be nailed to the pieces of wood. He'll hang for hours, and then he'll die. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. But his blood and his sacrifice gains you access. Access to God's forgiveness, access to his mercy, access to his grace. My friends, God's gift to Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel was they got to see God. They got to eat with God. They got to drink with God. Tonight, the Lord offers you the same opportunity. He gives you the same gift. Because today we come before the Lord's table. You have full access to God. You get to see him in the bread. You get to see him in the wine as it becomes his body and blood. You get to eat and drink in his presence. The presence of your Savior who is crucified and risen for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your access in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.